Okay, so what happened? We're now going to back. We're now backing up a couple of years. So the CDA is, I think, 96, the Communications Decency Act. So here's what happened in the days before everybody had internet connections and people were dialing into bulletin boards. But you can think of it as a website because it's sort of the same thing. CompuServe was one of these information services, and you went to CompuServe and there was a selection of things you could pick from, you know, games, finance, childcare, whatever the various options were. And they ran bulletin boards where people could post stuff. And on the finance bulletin board, there was a service called Rumorville. And on Rumorville, people could just post whatever they wanted about gossip, about what was happening on the market, stock market, where stocks were going to rise and sink and so on. And a company called, and CompuServe just posted whatever people wrote. It was just an open bulletin board that was unmoderated in any way. And a company called Cubby started a competing service, not on CompuServe. And on the Rumorville bulletin board, some anonymous posts went up that said that the new service, which was called Cubby's service, which was called Scuttlebutt, was, I want to quote here, a new startup scam, and was just, you know, just said it had nothing but stuff that was stolen from Rumorville and reposted on Scuttlebutt and so on. Cubby, the people who started the new service, sued CompuServe for defamation. Right? They said, you know, it's not true, first of all, that it's a scam and that we're just copying stuff over from Rumorville. It's clearly audible to third parties because it's a bulletin board, everybody's looking at it, and it's costing us business, drawing eyeballs away from Scuttlebutt because you're making it people mistrust it. They sued for defamation and took it to court, and the question arose as to what this bulletin board thing, think of it as a website, it's basically the same thing, what it was like in the world of print media. And the argument was between, can be framed as between two alternatives. One is that CompuServe is like the New York Times. They accept letters to the editor and opinion pieces and stuff like that, which they then print, even though they didn't write them at the New York Times. So if you think about it that way, then CompuServe is kind of like publishing this stuff. It's got the same agency in the appearance of this defamatory material as the New York Times would have if they published stuff that was defamatory. Or the other way to think about it was that they're just the delivery truck, right? They don't do anything. They take what people give them to say and they pass it on to other people to hear, but bear no more responsibility for what appears on their screen than the trucker who delivers the New York Times to your home or to the out-of-town newsstand would have for delivering the New York Times, the content of the New York Times. Or in another way, you know, if, you know, if I call my brother and say that you're a lying cheat who's stolen $50 million from me, it's false, it's defamatory, you know, it's all of the things that it's supposed to be, but Verizon doesn't bear any responsibility for that just because they are carrying the message, right? So that, so this is one of these crucial things where, you know, the what the right metaphor is completely decides who's responsible and whether there's any responsibility there. It's clear, you know, that whoever said this, you know, bears some responsibility, but that party was anonymous, so it's, they couldn't practically go after that person. So they're going after CompuServe instead. And the court said, in this Cubby v. CompuServe case, that CompuServe is a distributor. CompuServe is like the trucker that carries the newspapers from one place to another. Can't be held liable if it neither knew nor had reason to know of the allegedly defamatory Rumorville statements. Okay, so so that was great for all the people who were running bulletin boards and sort of set the precedent for the way the web started to work as it came into being a few years later. Okay? The party who hosts the website doesn't bear direct responsibility. Okay? So the only way, if you want to go after somebody, you can't go after the ISP, according to that decision. You've got to actually go after the person who said it. Can't go after the person who passed it along. Can't go after them or them or them. You know, you have to go after the actual speaker. Okay, then a few years later, something else happened. Another case happened. So Prodigy was another service provider. And, you know, even before the RIM report, which we showed you last time, and the Time magazine cover, everybody knew that there was lots of bad stuff on the internet. Lots of disgusting pictures. Prodigy was a internet service provider, not an internet service provider, an information service provider, again, sort of in the pre-internet era, the last years of the pre-internet era, that was sort of, it was a competitor to CompuServe, and its particular niche was that it was family-friendly. And that if you went on Prodigy, if you sent your 12-year-old boy onto Prodigy, you could be sure that he wouldn't find any of those photographs of the kinds that we were talking about last time, and that creepy bar graph or pie chart, and then the last thing showed you. Okay. So, and pretty much the same thing happened with Prodigy as had happened a few years later with Cubby and CompuServe. Here's what Prodigy had to say about itself. It said that we make no apology for pursuing a value system that reflects the culture of millions of American families we aspire to serve. Certainly no responsible newspaper does less. So that was their thing. So they had a similar, there's the same thing. It had nothing to do with obscenity. They had a money talk bulletin board where people put stuff up, and somebody put up some anonymous comments about a investment firm called Stratton Oakmont, and said that Stratton Oakmont was involved in major criminal fraud, and that the people there were soon going to be proven to be criminal, and Stratton Oakmont sued Prodigy exactly as Cubby had served CompuServe, and Prodigy said, no, no, that's all been settled by the Cubby decision. We're off the hook because, you know, we're not the publisher. We're just repeating what other people said. And when the This case was decided. The court came down, this is 95 now, in completely the opposite place. And not just because it was a different court, which sometimes happens, but because Prodigy, this is the words of the decision, has uniquely arrogated to itself the role of determining what is proper for its members to post and read on its bulletin boards. Based on the foregoing, this court is compelled to conclude that for the purposes of plaintiff's claims in this action, Prodigy is a publisher rather than a distributor. Because actually it called itself a newspaper. Right? It says we do the kind of stuff that responsible newspapers do. We make sure that bad stuff isn't there. And then, well, it's if you do that and bad stuff is there, then I guess, you know, you got to bear the responsibility for letting it through. Okay? So if you were running one of these services, or you were the lawyer for one of these services now, you know, on the day after this decision comes out, what do you tell your client? Yes? And what do you do if somebody posts something that you think might be true and is really kind of interesting, but maybe if it's not true is kind of libelous? What? Say it.
Delete it.
You say delete it.
Maybe.
Okay. But if you delete it and you ever miss one.
Yeah. Then I guess don't delete it. And say
right. You don't touch anything. As long as you don't touch anything, you're fine. You know, put those pictures up of horses doing things with, I don't know, whatever, right? As long as you don't touch it. But if you ever go in and start editing as to what is appropriate for your people to see and what isn't, then all of a sudden the court's going to regard you as a publisher and you're going to get sued to death every time something goes through that someone can prove to you is defamatory. And you've got to defend yourself in court just on an allegation that it's defamatory. So this was an untenable situation. And what happened was, so here we're now in a situation where apparently you can go after the source, of course, if you can find them. You can always do that, but you also can go after the ISP if the ISP is exercising any editorial judgment at all.